and welcome to the Monday, November 16th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments. I want to welcome our wonderful group of appointees to boards and commissions and other jobs, and we are looking forward to hearing from you. I'm the chair of the committee, Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, and we are joined by Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli and our members Senator Ginny Burdick and Senator Brian Boquist and Senator Lee Beyer will be here shortly. So I'm just going to explain a little bit about the way we operate here. The way we'll proceed, and you probably have heard a little of this on background, is that we'll open a hearing, a public hearing, on each board and commission separately. We have quite a few people this morning joining us by telephone, so those of you that are here in the room may be called up together with people that are joining us by phone. We'll ask you to tell us very briefly a little bit about your background and why you want to serve on this particular board or commission or in this position, and then I will open it up for questions from committee members. And don't be worried if you don't hear us voting on your appointment right when we hear from you, because we will save that for the end of the meeting, and then we will pass motions to move all of the appointments to the floor of the Senate, where those will be voted on Wednesday morning. So that's a little bit about our process, and as I said, we're looking forward to hearing from all of you, and we now have our entire committee here. So just to show you that this committee ranges far and wide, our very first appointee is going to be joining us from Palau and Micronesia. So I will begin by opening a public hearing on the appointments of Benny Moses May Zubed and Hussein Albayi to the Commission on Asian and Pacific Islander and Islander Affairs. And we will start with good morning. Is this Benny Moses May Zubed? Hello there. Hi. Is this Benny? We're getting a little bit of echo. Yeah, have a seat. So this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum. I'm here in the Capitol in Salem. And we're getting a lot of feedback. Is there any way to get...
It's coming from her end. Yeah. Dianne.
Yeah. Better?
There we go. That is much better. Okay, great. Well, I understand we just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs Commission. So I know that it's midnight where you are, and so we're going to ask you to go first and just tell us a little bit about your background and why you want to serve on this commission.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee, for taking time to talk to me this morning. As you know, my name is Bini Moses Nasub, and I'm from La Grande, Oregon, in Union County, District 57, and I am a nominee for the Oregon Commission on Asian Pacific Islander Affairs. As a resident of Oregon for over like 25 years, I've been involved in different local community boards, and then also involved in different organizations like the Asian Pacific Community of Oregon and other programs within higher ed to really work on creating an inclusive and diverse, specifically student populations, and working to address challenges that our API students have within higher education. So I hope that my service to this board, something that will also bring awareness and opportunities, as well as maybe talk about some of the challenges that API members, especially those living in rural areas of Oregon, and how we can ensure that they their issues are heard, and that, you know, when some decisions are made that may affect them, that their perspectives are also considered. I also hope that, you know, within my background on diversity as well as higher education, I could be instrumental, hopefully, in helping and providing those perspectives with API who live in rural Oregon, and create awareness for, as well as possible of resources that they may not have and how we can use what is available through other communities to link different communities with resources to enhance the future of our state.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your background, your willingness to serve on this important commission. I think that because you're probably listening to us on your computer as well, we're getting a little feedback, so I don't know if you have the ability to turn the volume down on your computer, but that might help a little bit.
Okay.
Great. Okay. And thank you again, and we're going to go ahead and hear from our other appointee who's here in the room with us, and you're welcome to stay on the line, so please do. Now, if you'd like to just start by saying your name. Say your name for the record.
Yes, Hussein Albiati.
And tell us a little about yourself and why you want to serve.
Sure. Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum and the rest of the community. First of all, it's an amazing honor just to be here in this room, let alone this building. I'm just a kid from Iraq who just so happened to make it here with my family. We were once refugees, and we came to America in seek of this, right? The possibility to make things better for the community. And growing up, I knew my father did amazing work in his community. He basically laid asphalt to create streets to connect people, and he was an artist as well. And everything he ever did was strictly about communicating your passion to other people and connecting people. And so today, you know, I'm here, and I was very fortunate to be appointed to this amazing, I guess, place. It's simply put that I think what I have to offer is simple. It's just the idea of sharing your passion, connecting people, and enriching lives. When we came here to America, we had, you know, things like ERCO and APANO and many other organizations that truly helped us become aware of where we were at the time and what we needed to do to kind of get by, work, live, learn. And I've been extremely fortunate throughout my whole life to come here and, I guess, make something of the quote-unquote American dream. And I've been able to open my own business and serve the community via graphic design and apparel printed garments. And I think lately I've been taking on a lot of inspirational, motivational speaking in schools and local areas, and simply sharing that passion and to inspire kids to get to college like I got to college and pursue their dreams, I guess, in this world. And so I think being in America, being in Oregon especially, and even more so in Portland, it's been an amazing journey, to say the least, to simply live in one of the best states in not only the country, I mean, I think it's one of the best areas to live in the world compared to what I've seen in the past in my life. So for that, I'm thankful. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I'm from Beaverton, Oregon, and that's kind of where I grew up. So thank you.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I think first we're going to see if we have any questions for Ms. Moses Mesubed so that we can let her go because it's very late at night on Tuesday. And I don't see any questions for you, so thank you very much for joining us from halfway across the world. And we will be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing. Thank you again.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. Have a very good morning.
Great. Have a good night. And did we have any questions for Mr. Albiati? Okay, I don't see any questions for you either, so thank you again for your willingness to serve and for being here so early this morning. Okay, I'll close that public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Dave Toler and Marcia Wenzel to the Home Care Commission, and I believe they're, Mr. Toler is here in person, so why don't we hear from you first, and then we'll get our, do we already have our next person on the phone? Okay. Hi, is this Marcia Wentzel?
This is she.
Hi, Marcia. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, the chair of the Senate Rules Committee. I'm here in the state capitol. Here with me are Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli and our members, Senators Lee Beyer, Senator Jenny Burdick, and Senator Brian Boquist. I've just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the Home Care Commission. We're going to ask you to tell us briefly why you want to serve on the Home Care Commission and a little bit about your background, but please keep it brief.
Okay. Thank you for your forbearance. I am surprised today with a cold and temperature, so I don't meet you in person. I've been in Oregon for about 8 years, having come from New York City, and was born there. Except for 10 years that I was caregiver for my parents in Nova Scotia and served on an equivalent position with Home Care Nova Scotia, the provincial board. And my life in New York City offered me excellent opportunities for education. I went to Queens College, City University of New York, and did graduate work at Columbia University. And as I was in the field of instructional technology and curriculum design, my life started untethered by disability, and then I became disabled, but still a woman man. And then I was caregiver for my parents, and now I am a care receiver. Anyway, along the way, I've gathered strength from both negative experiences. Sorry. And I wish to apply my educational background to address needs for home care and to be a voice for people in my community. So I guess that's my short statement for today.
That's excellent, and we appreciate that you would have joined us in person, but there are very many people, unfortunately, in the Capitol, too, who've come down with the early winter cold, and so we appreciate you staying home and not passing it along to any more people.
Okay.
Members, do we have any questions for Ms. Wentzel so we can let her go and recuperate? Okay. I think we'll let you go, and then we're going to hear from Dave Toler, who's here in the room. You're welcome to listen if you like, but we don't really need you to stay on the phone any further.
I'll listen.
Okay, great. Good. It's probably easier to listen than to talk when you have a cold, right?
Okay.
And welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Please introduce yourself and go ahead.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. I am Dave Toler, Director for Senior Disability Services for Rogue Valley Council of Governments. So our area agency on aging and disability covers Josephine and Jackson counties down in the deep south of Oregon. I am also on the executive committee for the Association of Area Agencies on Aging and Disabilities, and that association has selected me to serve on the Home Care Commission. Our primary mission as area agencies on aging and disability throughout Oregon is to ensure that Oregonians, as they age or have disabilities, live where they want to live. And more we are providing the resources to make that be the first choice is being home for Oregonians. So the role that the Home Care Commission plays as sort of the pipeline for home care workers is a very critical one for our mission in being successful to make sure Oregonians are aging and living with disabilities where they want to be. So that's why I very much would like to serve on the Home Care Commission.
Great. Well, thank you for taking this on. It sounds like you've got a busy career and life already.
You bet.
Thank you for traveling to be here in person.
My pleasure.
Do we have any questions for Mr. Toler? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you again.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And thank you, Marcia. We'll let you go and move on.
Thank you.
We'll be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing today. Feel better.
Thank you. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Terry Cross to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. Good morning and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum. Senators, my name is Terry Cross. I live in Portland, Oregon, in Senate District 23. I'm honored to be considered for an appointment to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today. I'm the founding executive director and now senior advisor to the National Indian Child Welfare Association, headquartered in Portland. I'm a member of the Seneca Nation of Indians, but I came here 37 years ago to go to graduate school at Portland State, where I got my master's degree. I've served at Portland State in a number of different functions, including adjunct professor and now visiting professor. I've also served on the Board of Visitors of Oregon State University, and I'm a senior fellow with the American Leadership Forum here in Oregon. All of these experiences as an American Indian have brought me to this opportunity. We're living in a time in Oregon of transformation. It won't be long before Oregon is a majority-minority population. Things are growing much more diverse in our state. The question is not whether if this will happen, but when. But more importantly, the question is how. And the answer to that question depends entirely on our collective internal compass. And I view this appointment as an opportunity to participate in an essential public dialogue to help shape higher education policy in Oregon so that we're better prepared for this moment in history. If confirmed, I'll promote coordination among Oregon's institutions of higher education for the betterment of our civil society in the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for being willing to take on this assignment. It's a really important one. Do we have any questions for Mr. Cross? Yes, Senator Farioli.
The commission's in the process of writing rules for Senate Bill 81. You certainly will be aware of that issue since you follow these issues. I want to present an analogous situation and then ask my question. A number of folks in the legislature voted to make driver cards available for non-residents. And we did that at the urging of employers throughout the state in construction, in agriculture, in forestry, et cetera. And that vote, which was a majority vote by a bipartisan majority, elicited a backlash in the larger community in Oregon, resulting in a referral of that of the question of driver cards and a complete reversal of the legislative actions. The Senate Bill 81 is ambiguous at best, in some people's opinion, not in mine, about its intent to provide free community college education to needful students, just all students that come from the community college system. But if the rules are written in such a way as to provide free community college to non-residents or aliens, it may create the same sort of a backlash and endanger the entire program. So I'd like to hear what your thinking is, since we've got this very recent reversal of policy by the citizens of the state of Oregon on the driver cards issue. What is your take on either making the rules clear and trying to avoid that backlash, or continuing with an ambiguous rule that actually catalyzes a reversal? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Farioli, for that very detailed question. We apologize for not giving you these questions ahead of time. We don't certainly expect you to be familiar with the rulemaking process for that bill. I'm not sure all the members of the committee are, so.
Well, Senator Rosenbaum and Senator Farioli, I think I can answer the question in general. And first of all, I think that the leadership shown by the legislature in both of those situations is commendable, that no state should ever have to apologize to anyone for trying to make the citizens of their state more able to reach their goals of higher education. But these are challenging times, and in this change that we're experiencing in our state, there will be inevitable pushback. It takes courage to have dialogue and to confront those issues in ways that everybody has a voice. My hope is to come to the table so that I can encourage that everyone has a voice.
Okay, any additional questions? Okay, I don't see any for you, so we'll thank you for being here today, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Jennifer Gibbons and Kayvon Gina to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine. Kayvon will be joining us by telephone. Welcome. Good morning. Good morning. Is this Kayvon Gina?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
And it looks like you turned your volume down, which is great because we were getting a little feedback. So we know that you are on the telephone, and this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, chair of the Senate Rules Committee. With me here in the state capitol are the vice chair of the committee, Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as our members, Senator Lee Beyer, Senator Jenny Burdick, and Senator Brian Boquist. So we've just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine. And because you're on the phone, we're going to let you go first and just state your name for the record, and then tell us very briefly a little bit about why you want to serve on this board. And please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. Thank you for the opportunity to address the committee today. My name is Dr. Kayvon Gina, and I live and practice in Portland, Oregon. I am very grateful to be nominated to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine. I've been a practicing naturopathic doctor and licensed acupuncturist in Oregon for the last 18 years. For most of that time, I've run my own small clinic. In the last couple of years, I've joined my practice into a larger multidisciplinary clinic. This has given me a perspective on the challenges for naturopathic doctors in a single doc practice, as well as the challenges, different challenges in a larger clinic setting. My main interest in being on the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine is to be able to give something back to my profession. I want to help ensure that my profession is well represented and that it is safe and beneficial for the Oregon community. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us by phone. And next we're going to hear from, why don't I first ask if we have any questions for Dr. Gina? Anyone have any questions? I don't see any questions for you, but why don't you stay on the line and you'll be able to hear the person that's joining you on the board if you've got time. Great. Okay. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and the committee. My name is Dr. Jennifer Gibbons. I'm a practicing naturopathic physician in Portland, Oregon, and I am also adjunct faculty at the National College of Natural Medicine since 2004. I've been practicing for the past 18 years in private practice. My specialty has always been general practice along with midwifery, and the Oregon Board of Natural Medicine includes natural childbirth as part of its licensure, and it's one of the few states in the country that actually licenses naturopathic midwives. And we always like to have a member on the naturopathic board who has that specialty so that we can help represent the small community of naturopathic midwives in Oregon and also protect the public. So that is why I'm interested in practicing on the board.
Great. Well, thank you for taking time out of what sounds like an already very busy work life and serving on this important board. Do we have any questions for Dr. Gibbons? Okay, I don't see any for you, so we'll let you go, and we'll be acting on both of your appointments at the close of today's hearing. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And next, and I'll close that public hearing, and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Rick Romer to the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists, and he will be joining us by phone. Hi, is this Rick Romer?
Yes, Yes, it is. Good morning.
Hi, this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee. I'm here in the state capitol in Salem. Sitting here with me are the Vice Chair of our committee, Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as our members, Senator Lee Beyer, Senator Jenny Burdick, and Senator Brian Boquist. And I've just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. So if you'd like to just restate your name for the record, then tell us briefly about your background and why you want to serve on this board.
Thank you. Chair Rosenbaum, Senator, thank you for your consideration of my appointment. My name is Rick Romer. I live in Kaiser, Oregon, and I've been a resident of Oregon for 44 years. And my background has really been in the professional field as a CPA and CFP. And I find that basically after recently selling my business here in Oregon, I have a little more time to give back to the community. And although I've served on a variety of boards in the city and in the county, I've not served in any fashion with the professional licensed counselors and therapists. So I have an interest in basically giving back, using my analytical skills and inquisitive nature and to serve the community and the state.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. Did we have any questions, members, for Mr. Romer? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Robin Johnson as the Director of Affirmative Action, and she'll be joining us in person. Good morning. Thanks for waiting so patiently, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Robin Johnson from Milwaukee, Oregon. And so I'll just say that for diversity and inclusion efforts within an organization's workforce are essential to address the needs of client space meaningfully and effectively. Continuing to improve efforts to employ individuals from some of our most vulnerable communities, women, people of color, people with disabilities, and veterans, to name a few, are tied to systemic changes that enhance an agency's overall service delivery model to all constituents. The ability for data to shape strategic initiatives while effectively capturing process improvement methods enables this work to be rooted in data-informed framework. This is a necessary component to effective policy development and a perfect fit for my background as a data and policy analysis. I recognize the need for the centralization of this body of work while also supporting the development of resources to better support all state agencies being able to meaningfully engage in these efforts. So thank you for having me here today. I have a background, I have my master's in developmental psychology with a real strong background in research and data analysts. And I really see metrics being able to drive this work in a meaningful way.
Well, thank you very much for being here today. Did we have any questions for Ms. Johnson? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, but I will just say on the record that I have known your mother since she was very young, and she was in my class in college. So it's quite a delight to see you having turned out to be somebody so capable of taking on this very important job. I know how proud your mom is of you, and I'm sure we'll be proud of your work in this position, too. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for that, Chair Rosenbaum. Thank you, everybody.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Jean-Marie Moore to the Commission for the Blind. I believe she's here with us today in person. So if you'd like to come forward. Yeah, you're in a good place there. Just have a seat, and there's a microphone right in front of that chair.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum and senators of this committee. My name is Jean Marie Moore, and I've lived in Oregon since 1999. And the American Council of the Blind of Oregon has suggested that I proceed as forward with the nomination to be a commissioner on the Board of Commission for the Blind. And it's political work isn't new to me in a way. I've been up to the Capitol quite a bit earlier in my life here, and I have worked with when Kate Brown was the Secretary of State with the Help America Vote Act, and to make voting accessible for people who are blind and have visual impairments and other disabilities in Oregon. So if any people in your districts have that issue, they can contact their county elections offices and have an accessible vote. I didn't have a secret vote until 2006, and it was a really big day for me. So I have been asked to do this and feel quite humble about proceeding forward in this capacity, frankly. But I was really well served by the Department of Rehabilitation in California and in Colorado, and received some services when I first got here in order to help me be a successful person with blindness as my visible disability.
Great. Well, thank you very much. You may know that this committee is also charged with dealing with voting and elections issues, too. So we're really glad to hear about your experience and that that's a priority. It certainly should be. Did we have any questions for Ms. Moore? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing. And thank you again very much for being here with us this morning in person.
Thank you very much, Senators.
And I'll close the public hearing. And next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Dwayne Bremer and Kismet Mayo to the State Board of Denture Technology. And I believe they're both here in person. So if you'd both like to come forward. Good morning and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Whoever wants to go first, please go ahead.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Kismet Mayo and I'm from Brookings, Oregon. I grew up in Gold Beach, Oregon my entire life. I did work in California for about 15 years for the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation as a nurse, so I'm also a nurse. I have my own business in Brookings. I grew up in the business of denturism, and both of my parents made dentures, so it means a lot to me. I applied for this committee, this board position, so that I could become more involved in my field and make sure that the standards and quality of care for the patients are where they should be. Thank you for the opportunity.
Great, thank you. I think we'll hold questions until we've heard from both of you.
Hello, my name is Dwayne Bremer, and Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, thank you for this interview. I was among the first denturists to get licensed in the United States. Oregon was the first state to license denturists as to practice without the supervision of a licensed dentist. I've been practicing for almost 40 years at this point. But now I'm semi-retired, and I have time to give back to my profession, which I've enjoyed very much. And that's why I'm applying for this position on the board. Also, at the last continuing education meeting, I had a lot of peer pressure from colleagues encouraging me to do this. So I live in Happy Valley, Oregon now. My practice has always been at the Oregon coast, Newport, Oregon, but I only work 2 days a week now. So that's my story.
Great. Well, thank you both for taking on this assignment. It sounds like you're bringing a lot of history to it. And in the case of Mr. Bremer, and also a lot of history, Ms. Mayo, in your family business. So, do we have any questions for either of these good folks?
I'm going to take the opportunity. Okay, my other hat.
Senator Boquist.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, Duane. And I'm curious, I'm chair of Veterans Committee, and we have this always ongoing issue of military training versus civilian and bringing it over. And I'm looking through your stuff here, and way back when you were able to bring your Air Force training right over. Historical perspective, was it easy, or what qualification, or what did you go through back then that was fixed then and is broken now? In bringing those skills over? I mean, I think it says you're an Air Force dental technician, and that kind of started you down the road in medicine.
Right, and I went to work at the dental school as a lab technician. I was there for about 7 years. But when all the scuttlebutt was out about dentures becoming licensed, I quit my job as a technician and went back to school and became a dental hygienist, because I knew that most dentures, lab technicians, were going to need more education than they were getting by just making dentures. Mm-hmm. And so then I got some education in pathology and histology and other things that it's really important when you're dealing with healthcare. Mm-hmm. And that's how so when they did pass it, then I decided where I wanted to live, and my wife and I and children moved to the coast.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you both for taking this on, and we will be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing.
Thank you.
And I'll close this public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Stephen Green to the Oregon Growth Board. If you'd like to come forward. Good morning, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Thanks for waiting so patiently. I imagine it's pretty interesting to get to hear from people in Micronesia and much closer to home. So please introduce yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, committee members. My name is Stephen Green. I'm an economist. I work for Albina Community Bank, the state's only community development CDFI bank. We invest in businesses and consumers in the area of Portland metro area, also serving somewhat southwest Vancouver. I've been raised in Portland the last 38 years of my life. Was born in San Francisco, actually June 5th, 1977. If anyone remembers that date, that's the date the Trailblazers last won the championship.
I remember that date.
There you go. I focus mainly on helping small, medium-sized businesses start and grow in the Portland metro area. I've been an entrepreneur since college. I started my first business while I was studying economics at Western Oregon University. Both my parents have been entrepreneurs growing up as well, and I love my work. I get to be part of people's journey as they change the world.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking on the Growth Board, which is extremely important, and you've got an impressive resume. I don't know if you took a public speaking class from the Senate president when you were at Western Oregon. Certainly, it looks like if you didn't, you have those skills.
I think it rubs off. Mr. Courtney's pretty powerful.
Great. Did we have any questions for Mr. Green? Yes, Senator Boquist.
And Ms. Green, I know you're going to answer this correctly, and I apologize for not doing it in advance. I was planning on doing it with FERS because I've got him drilled into this particular deal. But all boards and commissions, and especially this board, and I can apologize for not reaching out to you and not noticing Oregon Growth Board on my list here, but all boards and commissions have a fiduciary responsibility, and I think as a banker, you're really familiar with this issue here, right here.
Yes, sir.
And could you just touch briefly to remind your colleagues who have all volunteered behind you of when we start talking about fiduciary responsibility, that the types of things we're talking about, and the importance of that?
So I think, you know, as a previous public official, I used to work for one of the bureaus for the city of Portland. The Oregon Ethics Commission and the rules behind that are very important. But as fiduciary responsibility, working with tax dollars, working with dollars that are really part of the public trust, has a very high level of scrutiny. And there's not only, I think, the legal aspect, but one of the things we would talk about when I worked for the city of Portland was the Oregonian rule. So if you think something might be astray, how would it look if it was in the paper? And I take that fiduciary responsibility extremely serious, as we all should, whenever we're working with the dollars of the public trust.
Thank you. Great answer, Bob. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you again for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Marissa Salinas to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Good morning and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators of the Committee. My name is Marissa Salinas. I am a nominee to be appointed to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. My interest in, hopefully I won't fall over here. My interest in being appointed to the Commission is pretty simple. I came to the state of Oregon at age 17 to escape the poverty that I grew up in, as well as the violence that surrounded me. And along the way, there have been many people that had supported me and helped develop my career, including some of the past commissioners on this commission. And I think because of my life experience and because of people like that I have dedicated my career and volunteer experience to giving back to the community and helping others. The mission of the commission is something that I hold very dearly and that I think I've put into practice. And now, years later, I'm the mother of a two-year-old, and I would like very much to instill that value in her of giving back to the community, even though she's a little too young right now to understand what I'm doing. But hopefully someday she'll understand, and I also want to make a better future for her. So that's my interest. That's why I want to do it. And I'm very honored that I was nominated to be appointed, and I thank you for your consideration.
Well, thank you for taking on this important assignment. Do we have any questions for Ms. Salinas? Okay, I don't see any, so it looks like you answered them all. Thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Gary Piercy to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots. Morning, and thanks for waiting so patiently.
Yes. Good morning, Chairman Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Gary Piercy. I'm looking forward to my time on the Board of Maritime Pilots. I am now retired and living in the South Waterfront in Portland. After spending 34 years in the airline air freight industry, I understand the importance of international trade to our state and to our everyday lives. The safe docking and undocking of ships is a small but vital link in the larger scheme of international shipping. In my previous career, I've worked with the Civil Aeronautics Board and understand the regulatory oversight function. I'm a former naval officer with ship handling experience and understand some of the issues our pilots run into on a day-to-day basis. In addition, my wife and I own a 42-foot trawler that we have cruised on both coasts over the last few years, and I have previously held a Coast Guard license. I'm also a board member of the Portland Council of the Navy League, and I pledge to represent the public interest in maintaining a safe and efficient piloting system for our ports and rivers. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. You have an impressive resume, and I have a feeling we only heard part of it, and it looks like you spanned several branches of government, and we're very glad you're willing to serve on this important board. Do we have any questions for Mr. Piercy? Yes, Senator Boquist.
I'll take one, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the formal duties and responsibilities of the board. But if you can figure out a way to overwork these pilots so we can get more ships coming up the Columbia River.
Right. That's a good point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Jan Friedman to the residential. Oh, did I skip a page? I did.
Right here.
Okay. Next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of David Bone and Corinna Patzer to the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board. And Ms. Patzer is going to be joining us by phone. Good morning. Is this Corinna Patzer?
Yes, it is.
Good morning. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Committee on Rules. And here in the state capitol with me are our Vice Chair, Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as our members, Senators Lee Beyer and Senator Brian Boquist. We just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board. So if you'd like to just briefly tell us about your background and why you'd like to serve, just start by saying your name for the record.
Thank you. Well, Chair Rosenbaum, Senator of the Committee, my name is Corinna Patzer. I'm from Salem, Oregon. And my apologies for not being able to attend in person. I appreciate the opportunity to address you remotely. I know you all have copies of my application packet and my statement of interest for the Mortuary Board, so I will not be redundant in what you already know about me. I will say that I've been born and raised Oregonian my entire life, and I've had the opportunity to see the funeral and cemetery industry from all sides in my life, that of grieving family member, and I do believe that that's an opportunity. I think grieving teaches us a lot. And I also, through my work in organ and tissue donation, I've been able to work collaboratively with the funeral and cemetery industry. And additionally, I believe in the importance of public service and that we should all give back to our communities through volunteerism. So I would be honored to serve on the Mortuary Board as an advocate for my fellow Oregonians. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you all. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us by phone. Do we have any questions for Ms. Patzer before we move on? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, and you're welcome to stay on the phone while we hear from the other appointee.
Perfect. Thank you.
Great. Okay, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is David Bone, and Senator Rosenbaum and other committee members, thank you for having me. It is my real last name. I did not change it to be a funeral director. I've been a licensed funeral director and embalmer for 25 years. I've practiced most of my time here in the state of Oregon. I was raised in Arizona, and after a stint in the Army, went to college in Kentucky. My life is all about service, so I feel like this is a natural step for me in the next part of my career. My wife and I own a couple of funeral homes and a cemetery here in Oregon, and have a family and are raising them. So just really excited about the opportunity to be able to give back in a completely new capacity for me. So.
Great. Well, we appreciate you taking this on in addition to running a successful business in Oregon. Any questions for Mr. Bone?
No, this is Senator Monroe's favorite board.
Indeed. Okay, thank you again, and thank you, Ms. Patzer. We'll let you go.
Thank you.
Great. I'll close this public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Kathleen Chin and Bobby Turnipseed to the Oregon State Board of Nursing. Ms. Turnipseed's joining us by phone. Good morning. Is this Bobby Turnipseed?
Yes, it is.
Good morning. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee. Here with me in the Capitol, our Vice Chair, Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Lee Beyer and Senator Brian Boquist. We just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Oregon State Board of Nursing. So if you'd like to just briefly tell us about your background and why you'd like to serve on this important board.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. As you know, my name is Barbara Turnipseed, and my friends call me Bobby, so I hope you would feel free. I am from Ontario, Oregon, and that's in District 30. I'm a nominee to the Oregon State Board of Nursing, and you know, I'm very honored to come before you today. I've been an RN for 31 years, and most of my practice has been in critical care. I have my certification in critical care, and I've been at my current position for 31 years. 16 of those years I've been a nurse manager. And so I'm a member of the Professional Nurse Practice Council, co-chair of our staffing committee, and I'm our hospital's grievance chairperson. I've also served 6 years on the Cabinet for Economic and General Welfare for the Oregon Nurses Association. So I have a lot of varied views and experiences in nursing, from patient care to the managerial view. And what I want to express to you this morning is that I want you to know that nursing is not just what I do. It's who I am, and it's my passion still, even after 31 years. And so I feel right now in my career, I'd like to give back. I'd like to mentor young nurses, help to ensure patients receive safe, expert care, and I'd like to participate in the governance of nursing. So if I'm appointed, I'll give you all my energies to those causes, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to come before you.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us by phone. Did we have any questions for Ms. Turnipseed before we move to our other appointee? I don't see any questions, and you're welcome to stay on the phone while we hear from our other appointee.
Thank you, Senator.
Great. And please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Good morning, Chairman Rosenbaum and the illustrious members of the committee. I'm Kathleen Chin. My friends call me Kat. I am a nurse practitioner in Eugene, Oregon. I've been a nurse practitioner since 2000, but did not start my career that I'm doing now in 2001 after a postmaster's degree. I've been involved in nurse practitioner issues about a year after I graduated. Two of my preceptors were involved in Nurse Practitioners of Oregon and roped me right into being involved with that organization, and I've been with them ever since 2003. I'd like to say that this is the 50th anniversary of Nurse Practitioners of Oregon. I feel very fortunate to have been asked to be a part nominee for the Oregon State Board of Nursing as the Nurse Practitioner representative. I feel that our profession is one of the leading professions in healthcare, and Oregon has led the entire country in how we do independent practice as nurse practitioners. I'd like to be on this board to protect not only our practice, but also all of the individuals in the state of Oregon who are served by our served by all the nurse practitioners. And I also really respect what Bobby said. Bobby, what you said about being an RN is it's who we are, it's what we do, it's how we live.
Great. Well, thank you. It's good to hear some laughter because your profession certainly deal with a lot of very serious situations in all of our lives, and we appreciate the great work that you do.
Thank you.
Did we have any questions for Ms. Chin? Senator Boquist.
Never miss an opportunity.
It's a personal health question.
I'm setting the clock.
That's right. Actually, on behalf of most of my constituents, which you know, I don't have a whole lot of cities, but it's nurse practitioners in my district that are really the frontline service. I mean, independent nurse practitioners in many of my cities, if you call them cities, or incorporated or unincorporated, it's the only thing we have. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are not doctors out there. And so if there's any illustrious people out there, it's the illustrious volunteers who volunteer like yourself. This commission and other commissions and boards, and is the nurse practitioners that are working out there. So thank you for your service.
And thank you for yours. Nurse practitioners started out as frontier nursing in pediatrics in Colorado. And so the frontier is where we started and grew up, so. And will remain.
In Oregon, we still have 19 frontier counties legally.
Thank you.
Indeed. Okay, thank you both, and we'll be acting on your appointments at the close of today's hearing.
Thank you, Senator.
And I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of William Carnett, Leah Mitchell, Suzanne Washington, and Regina Rose to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors. And two of these people are in the room, and we're going to start with
Leah.
Ms. Mitchell. Is this Leah Mitchell? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, is this Leah Mitchell?
Yes, this is she.
Hi, this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee. And here in Salem with me are Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as our members, Senators Brian Boquist and Senator Lee Beyer. And I've just opened a hearing on your appointment and that of three other people to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors. So we're going to hear from you first, and we'd just like to hear briefly a little about your background and why you'd like to serve. Please start by saying your name for the record.
My name is Leah Mitchell, and thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators Berger, Beyer, Ferrioli, and Boquist. I am from Marion County in Salem, Oregon, and I appreciate the opportunity to address the committee this morning. I'm seeking the opportunity to serve on the Oregon Patient Safety Committee as a board member representing hospital administration and as the vice president at Salem Health, who oversees quality and safety, and a registered nurse. I have a great passion for improving care and believe that a team approach is essential to improving safety. As an executive in a large healthcare system, serving on the board would be an excellent opportunity to continue efforts in sharing best practices and implementing meaningful tactics to eliminate patient harm. If my nomination is accepted, I would be honored to work with my colleagues in pursuing excellence in reducing medical harms for patients in the state of Oregon. Thank you for your time and consideration of my appointment.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Did we have any questions for Ms. Mitchell before we get our other person on the phone? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you again, and we will let you go and be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing.
Thank you for your time.
Great. Have a good day. Okay, why don't we go ahead then and hear from the two people that are here in person, and we'll attempt to get the third person on the phone. And whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
Well, good morning, Senator Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Suzanne Washington. I live in Southeast Portland. I'm the Executive Director of Meals on Wheels People in the Portland metro area, and I'm here for an appointment for the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. I've been working in social services for nearly 30 years, and I look forward to putting that experience to work for the citizens of Oregon on this commission. I hope that my perspective as an advocate for others through all these years brings some value to the commission and helps look at what will keep people safe when they're going through the health system. So hopefully that will be valuable and to all of our members of the state, and I look forward to serving. So thank you for your consideration.
Great. Thank you for your willingness to take this on. It's extremely important. I think we'll hold questions till we've heard from both of you.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, and senators for the opportunity to address this committee. My name is Regina Rose, and I am from the Dalles, Oregon Senate District 30. I'm a nominee for the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board, as we have said. I have been a registered nurse for 34 years. 18 of those years have been in nursing leadership, and 7 of the 18 years have been in executive administration. I am currently the Chief Nursing Officer and Vice President at Mid-Columbia Medical Center in the Dalles, Oregon. And as an administrator, I feel that my number one charge is to ensure that each patient receives the most optimal, compassionate, and safest care available. Dr. Russell M. Nelson, a renowned cardiac surgeon and humanitarian, has said that when we care for patients, we should look at our patients as we're looking, as a parent would look at them through their eyes. And I've taken this mantra and used that when I've made decisions, both as a practicing nurse and as an executive, to look at each patient and issue individually and look at it as what would a parent of the patient want and what would the public want. And so when this opportunity arose to serve on the Oregon Patient Safety Commission, I was very excited about that because patient safety is very dear to my heart, and that I feel that becoming a member of the Oregon Patient Safety Commission will allow me to take safety to the next level. Oregon has also been very a national leader in innovative health care, and I'm excited about that and excited to be an Oregonian and be part of that. So thank you for considering me for this essential position, and if appointed, I will serve to the best of my ability. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you both for taking this on. It's extremely important. Did we have any questions for Ms. Washington or Ms. Rose before we go to our person on the telephone? Okay, and you're welcome to stay put if you want while we get the other person on the phone. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Is this William Carnett?
Hi. Yes, this is.
Hi, this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, and I'm the chair of the Senate Rules Committee here in Salem. With me are our vice chair, Senator Ted Farrioli, as well as our members, Senator Ginny Burdick, Senator Brian Boquist, and Senator Lee Beyer. And we have opened a hearing on your appointment to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors. We've heard from the other three appointees, and now we're looking forward to hearing briefly from you about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Great. Well, good morning. Thank you for the invitation. I'm on a cell phone in Phoenix, so hopefully I'm not going to drop off here. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be considered for this. Patient safety has been something that I've been interested in many, many years. Even though there's been a lot of rhetorical conversation over the past 20 years on patient safety, I think that we haven't made quite as much progress as we should have or we like to think that we have. And I think I can offer something that perhaps others cannot, others can as well, but my background is pretty diverse in both private practice, small group, large group, rural hospital, urban hospital, and now working for a health plan. So I think the perspective and experience I bring can be helpful and unique. You know, health plans are a little bit different. We offer a different perspective in that we're quick to perhaps tell physicians how we'd like them to do things, but really we have no hands-on clinical interactions. And so I think the addition of a health plan representative is important from a patient safety perspective, and also brings the information back to the health plans that I think is really helpful as we go through all of this healthcare reform that we're doing now. So any questions or anything that I can answer about my background?
Great. That was, you took the words out of my mouth. So do we have any questions, members? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, and so we'll let you go about your business in Phoenix, and thank you, all of you, for taking on this important assignment.
Great, very good. Thank you very much.
Right, have a good day.
Okay, yep.
Okay, I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of William Barr to the Public Employees Benefit Board, if you'd like to come forward. Good morning and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good morning, Senator Rosenbaum. Committee members, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I appreciate the consideration for joining the board at Public Employee Benefits at PEB. The you know, I have to say I'm a little struck. I'm actually humbled to be here, but after listening to so many nominees with such a diverse background, it's very impressive. It makes me proud to serve. This is a great group you've been speaking with today. I'm just honored to be a part of that. My wife and I live in Lake Oswego. I work here in Salem, where I serve as Chief Operating Officer of the SAFE Corporation. We've been in Oregon about 14 years. Have a son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter as well here. So the health and safety of Oregon is a real important priority for me. I'm very committed to the PEB vision of better health, better care, and lower costs. Searching out the intersection of healthcare financing and healthcare delivery is a critical formula for the health of our state, both the physical health and financial health of the state. I'm very pleased. If I can bring some sort of qualitative and quantitative value to the board, I'd be very pleased to serve.
Great. Well, thank you for taking on the PEB assignment in addition to the extremely important job that you're doing in your day job. They're both vital to the state in stabilizing our workers' comp coverage, and taking care of injured workers is obviously a huge part of the healthcare picture. So do we have any questions for Mr. Barr? Yes, Senator Boquist.
This is my lecture point, Madam Chair.
Okay.
I asked Mr. Green, you heard the question, I asked Mr. Green the same question, and asked some of your predecessors, and I just want to preface it, Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the benefit of all volunteers who have volunteered here, is generally buried somewhere in the board and commission as one of those little ORSs that says, oh, by the way, you have this fiduciary responsibility too. Many times people don't see that. It's not your appointment, but there's another appointment out here in which I received dozens and dozens and dozens of emails that said they don't have any fiduciary responsibility. And it's like, okay, wrong answer, but it's okay. Could you just touch briefly? I mean, you're the CEO. I looked at your bio. Okay, so you and Mr. Green are the two ones here who can just briefly outline or not just the concept, but the idea that, you know, public entities have the same fiduciary responsibility, sure, and help educate the other board and commission members who, as I told the former director of OHA, must have got their head hurt, because, as you point, they have esteemed backgrounds, and now they're going to volunteer and help make Oregon a better state. But could you just touch briefly on the issue of fiduciary responsibility to the public?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. It wasn't lost. Your previous inquiry wasn't lost on me either. I guess I'm struck that whether it's in the private sector or public sector, we should all be humbled by both our fiduciary requirements and the related ethical requirements attached to that. This is an ongoing tracking that is only by staying open and available that we keep that as a true, earnest priority. I can hardly think of a more significant priority in serving than maintaining both the fiduciary view and ethics accountability.
Thank you, Manager. And thank you for volunteering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, and thank you very much for your comment, because I couldn't agree with you more that it is really impressive when you see a room full of Oregonians, most of whom are volunteering their time and taking time out of incredibly impressive and busy lives to serve in these capacities.
So. Well, we're all honored to serve, as all of you do as well. Thank you.
Thanks again. Mm-hmm. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Jeffrey Herring to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training. Good morning and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum. Thank you for having the opportunity to speak, and fellow senators, or other senators of the commission as well. My name is Jeff Herring. I'm a narcotics detective for the Tigard Police Department in District 18, where Senator Burdick is at. I live in Warren, Oregon with my family, my wife of 25 years. I have a 19-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter. I'm honored to be considered for the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training Board. I have over 26 years of law enforcement experience within the state of Oregon. I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran, where I served as a security police officer for 4 years. During my career, I've worked several different functions within law enforcement, to include basic patrol functions, school resource officer, DARE officer, grade officer, and for the last 18 years, a narcotics detective for the city of Tigard, in which I'm currently assigned to the Drug Enforcement Administration in the Portland District Office as a fully federally task force officer. I also currently am the Vice President for Region 1 for the Oregon Narcotics Enforcement Association and the Tigard Police Officers Association in the city of Tigard. I feel these positions I hold makes me a well-rounded candidate for the Department of Safety Standards and Trainings Board, and I bring a large amount of experience that I feel will assist in continuing the DPSST's Board of Continuing Excellence in the developing training and policy that will only make better for the officers and challenges that are as fluid as ever in today's society. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Great. Well, thank you for being here. Do we have any questions for Detective Herring? Yes, Senator Boquist.
Actually, I want to thank him for the service, and then
thank
remind
you.
Him, if they haven't told him, after we vote here, and I think we're voting, we vote Wednesday, right?
Correct,
Wednesday. But I guess Tuesday evening, BPSD has an active shooter presentation to the members of the legislature, if you didn't see that invitation. And as a frontline officer, I think you're quite familiar with the active shooter training program that's finally taken hold after a decade here in Oregon.
Yes, sir,
thank you for putting your life on the line in these situations.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, and I want to, Senator Burdick, did you have a comment?
No, just proud of my constituent.
Thank you, Senator.
Great. We're all proud of you, and especially because Veterans Day was last week, I want to thank you for your Air Force service.
Thank you.
Just mention, because I'm always so proud of my dad, who's a World War II Air Force veteran who flew 35 bombing missions over mostly Germany and survived and lived to tell about them. And I had the opportunity to go with him to Washington, D.C. and meet General Welsh, the head of the Air Force currently. So I am especially appreciative of everyone who served in the Air Force or the Army Air Corps. Great.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Senators.
Thank you. And I'll close the public hearing. And next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Jan Friedman to the Residential Facilities Advisory Committee. Thank you for waiting so patiently, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Well, thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, for this opportunity to be a nominee for the Residential Facilities Advisory Committee. I'm Jan Friedman, and I've been an attorney for 26 years. The last 16 years, I've been with Disability Rights Oregon. All of my clients with Disability Rights Oregon have been people with disabilities, and I've been advocating for their civil rights. The reason that this is dovetails with this committee position is long-term care ombudsman has so many of the same clients as we do. We represent people with disabilities. We try to ensure that they have more access, opportunity, choice in their lives. And this would give me an opportunity to strengthen that position. And we do want to strengthen our partnership with the long-term care ombudsman because I think that the people with disabilities will be better served in that way. So we have Fred Steele here, who's now the head long-term care ombudsperson. And Bob Jundeff, my director, also is very excited about continuing. Of course, we've been interacting for years, but we really want to strengthen that bond now that the Long-Term Care Ombudsman has a broader reach and be involved in that growth and that benefit to our people with disabilities. I've been part of many committees over my years. Right now, I'm the secretary of the Oregon State Bar's Elder Law Section, the executive committee. I'm a member of WINGS that has to do with improving guardianship practices in our state. I'm a member of the Portland Police Bureau Behavioral Health Unit Advisory Committee. And I earned my bachelor's degree at Oberlin College. I get a double degree in biology and sociology, anthropology, and I earned my law degree at Northeastern University School of Law in Boston. I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. I've lived here for since 1988, and I have a strong passion for helping people with disabilities live lives with dignity and being part of our community. And all that we can gain and that everybody can gain in a situation where there's improvement. So thank you for this opportunity.
Great. Well, thank you for being willing to serve. And don't leave quite so fast.
Sorry.
So are there any questions for Ms. Friedman? I don't see any, so thank you again. We'll be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing today.
All right, thank you.
And I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of James Hultz to the Respiratory Therapist and Polysomnographic Technologist Licensing Board. And that enabled me to practice saying polysomnographic, which I don't think was a word I could pronounce before I became chair of this committee. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum, Senators, and Aaron Saylor, our committee administrator. Thank you all for this opportunity. My name is Dr. James Hulse, although most people call me Jim. Some of my students call me Jimmy. I've been teaching respiratory therapy for 31 years, 20 years at Rogue Community College, and 11 years for Oregon Institute of Technology on the campus in Klamath Falls. I am here because I care about public health. From my international humanitarian work, I understand the strength of the Ministry of Health in being able to affect the health of millions of people in countries, and our own Oregon Health Authority has that same ability to make a real difference in Oregon. The power of licensure is something that can make a difference in a state and in health care, and I understand that. Because I've been teaching respiratory therapy for 31 years, I have had the unfortunate experience of dealing with sanctions for students that were operating outside of the bounds of professional standards, and I know that that's also part of licensure. Let's see here. I'm also interested to make sure that as there are so many changes that are happening in healthcare right now that Oregon doesn't fall behind our state to the south in its standards for respiratory care and the practice of respiratory care. And I believe that respiratory care is a field that can greatly, maybe it's overlooked, but it can have a really important part in assisting with the changes that are happening in our healthcare professions right now. Currently, hospitals that have to readmit COPD patients, they lose all the money that they would get for that. And I think that the profession of respiratory care can make a big difference. Polysomnography is also important, and sleep health, and I do know something about that. I've been department chair over a polysomnography program also. So thank you very much for your time, and look forward to working with you.
Great, thank you. Okay. Did we have any questions for Dr. Hulse? Okay, thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Bruce Weitzel, Mary McKay, and Kristen Takano Becker to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. And I believe they're all three here in the room. Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. And whoever would like to go first, go ahead.
Well, since I'm in the middle, I'll take it. Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, my name is Mary McKay. I am the superintendent at Lynn Benton Lincoln Education Service District. Our main office is located in Albany, Oregon. I appreciate the opportunity this morning to speak with you. I have been an educator.
I don't want to interrupt you, but those microphones are really sensitive.
Too
so
loud?
You don't have to, you don't have to get so close. You can be a few inches away.
Thank you. Is that better?
Okay. Great.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this morning. I've been an educator for 30 years, and the bulk of that time has been in human resources or in special education. And I think the perspective that I would bring to the Teacher Standards Practices Commission are both of those pieces. As a special educator, I know that there are variety of licensures and endorsements that are related to special education. The teacher of the hearing impaired, teacher of the vision impaired are examples of endorsements, and also the human resource perspective in my years as a human resource administrator, there's a real responsibility and requirement for districts and ESDs to ensure that the staff they have are properly licensed and appropriately assigned. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your consideration for the confirmation. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And I think we'll hold questions till we've heard from all three of you.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Kristen Becker, and I am from Newport. I work as a beginning teacher mentor throughout the Lincoln County School District, and this is my 23rd year as an educator there. I come before you as a nominee for a governor-appointed position as teacher commissioner on the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. During my 23 years in the Lincoln County School District, I've served in a number of roles, including classroom teacher, teacher on special assignment, school administrator, beginning teacher mentor, and also as a representative as a National Board Certified Teacher. I believe that the number of roles that I have held give me a unique perspective on the education system. I'm passionate about a number of things: children, therefore I'm an educator, literacy, and most specifically teacher leadership. My interest in being a teacher commissioner stems from my beliefs and the role that teachers have in leading education. Being appointed is an opportunity to share my expertise, to continue as a teacher leader in a larger capacity outside of my school district, and to give back to the education system and state that has provided me with a plethora of opportunities to grow and develop personally and professionally. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm Bruce Weitzel, currently Associate Dean at the University of Portland School of Education. Chairman Rosenbaum, Senators, like my fellow nominees, I take this position to be a very important one. And it's really my four decades in education. I've served primarily as K-12 administrator, secondary administrator, and the last 11 years at the University of Portland. So I've seen education from both sides, really from the K-12 side and higher ed. This particular commission works for licensure and accreditation of programs and licensure of candidates, which really is the bread and butter of trying to maintain a really quality education system in the state. I'm a product of that system, both K-12 and also higher education, and I see it as an opportunity for me to give back to the state after those four decades of serving it in other capacities. So I'm really looking forward to it and serving with fellow nominees like these. I also want to just say I want to thank Aaron Seiler and also Mary Moeller for the work they've done. They prepare us really well. I don't know if you know that or not, but they did a great job. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And yes, we are well aware of how capable our committee administrator is, as well as the governor's executive appointments director. So, okay, do we have any questions for these three folks? And Senator Boquist.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I appreciate all three of you volunteering. And I have an advice question for you, actually your advice to me. As you've seen in the news recently, I mean, more and more students, I call it the French phenomenon, more and more students are participating in their schools in terms of what is going on. We see what happened in the Midwest, so on and so forth. About 2 weeks ago, it was not in my district, I'll point that out for the record here, I was asked to come visit with, I think there were six rotations, about 120 high school seniors from at least a dozen different schools, and it wasn't in my district. I think that's why I was invited to ask or to come. And they rotated them through about leadership skills, what they thought of their schools, so on and so forth. And students asked me this particular question, and they said, look, we have teachers that we like and we get along with well, but they can't teach. And I said, well, what do you mean in that terms? They said, well, they don't know the subject. They just show YouTube videos. They simply do a handout, and when you ask them questions, they say, you have to go back and read the book because I don't know how to do this. And unfortunately, most of them are in the STEM categories in that there. When students like that, and again, it's not my district, say, well, what are you going to do about it, legislator? You guys are in the education, and you're all old enough to know that, you know, that sort of, what sort of a response should I do? Should I say, hey, go see you guys or go see the commission, or you have any thoughts at all?
Yeah, sure.
I'll
jump right in.
Or you can pass.
I think that's a critical question. I think that's the question that TSPC really has to deal with, because it both has program approval, which when the rubber meets the road, it's where we live in terms of schools of education. Those are teacher preparation programs. I guess for years of hiring hundreds of teachers in the role of being a high school principal in particular, the 17 years I spent doing that, I know that you hire based on those individuals you want to teach your own kids. And you look for learners primarily. You look for people that are excited about it and that passion is extended in their classroom. And you have to prepare them to be able to do it. I think we need to require that our programs really do look at how are we preparing those individuals to make a difference with kids. And if we don't do it and hold them accountable, then that becomes the issue that you heard about. And there's a normal distribution for any population.
Right.
Okay. And so you've got individuals a couple sigma beneath the mean in terms of teachers, administrators, any number of educators. But I think we're really skewed towards, in this state, we really do have some really fine educators, and I've been privileged to work with a lot of them. So I worked in primarily the Beaverton School District. If you were to send individuals through our schools, you probably wouldn't hear that. But that's going to be true across our state. So I think that you need, the schools of education, the preparation programs need to be supported, but they need to be held accountable to make sure that we really do, and the admission into our program is really a very focused one. So we're looking for people that can make a difference, not just numbers that come into those programs. And, I'm proud to say University of Portland, that's what we do. So
thank you.
And then in addition to that, this is Mary McKay. If once a teacher is hired, there are now the state has recently, in the past couple of years, implemented an educator effectiveness evaluation system, which brings more additional standards to the profession and additional accountability for those standards. The other thing to remember, especially around STEM, is teachers are hard to find. It's becoming a real issue around the state of Oregon, not only in the rural areas, but now in urban areas, of teachers who have that science and math background who are then available in order to receive the proper license to teach. So it's a problem that's going to continue to grow.
And just so I can add in my two cents worth, since I work with beginning teachers and I'm from a rural district, I find that folks come to us who are pretty passionate about their content but perhaps need some additional support in the delivery. Our kids learn differently and have access to so much more information than we did when we were kids, that as educators we have a responsibility to them to change up the way we're engaging students. It can't be like what we did. And so that's the shift that I find as I mentor that I need to support teachers with. So,
follow-up mentor.
Yes, follow-up.
And just kind of, I think what I grasp, and this was at least a half dozen different schools, right, is it is the delivery issue. And it is exactly as you said, it's the fact that almost everyone said, well, what is the class? And the class that they would mention it, and do you know what the degree is? And it's like, well, he or she normally doesn't teach this, but they don't have somebody to teach it, and so they got saddled with this thing. And so you have someone who doesn't know biology or doesn't know chemistry is now magically biology and chemistry. And the other thing is, it was pretty broad. I would consider all those schools to be rural, but some of them were pretty large schools. But again, it's an issue of, we call it retraining in the military. It's like, you know, they need a little more professional development, I guess is what we call it now, to make a better delivery so students learn. Thank you.
Senator Farrelly.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, you're very well aware of my angst over TSBC. For about 15 of the 20 years I've been in the building, I've tried to make a connection between properly licensed and appropriately assigned and teacher competency. And I've asked for that connection to be demonstrated in some way by TSBC, and I've been informed consistently that is not the teacher competency is not the mission of TSBC. So I've been searching, Madam Chair, diligently for what is the mission of TSBC that cannot be performed by the educational professionals that are currently in districts, in ESDs, in buildings. So I'd like to ask the panel, what is it that TSBC does that you cannot do as educational professionals from your platform?
I'll jump first. Senator, I think from the teacher preparation perspective, higher education, it does go back. The one thing that does take place is the program approval. It isn't just the candidates level. So the program approval for us, excuse me, is handled now by a new group called CAPE, which was NCATE, National Accreditation for Teacher Education. And we get visited every 7 years. One of the things, we have state accreditation, but we also have national accreditation standards. Those standards are really comprehensive, and I can't tell you the amount of time, because I'm responsible for a good part of that we prepare. We have full-time people literally preparing to make sure that we can show that we're making a difference, that our completers are making a difference in the K-12 classrooms, and we spend time researching and looking at that. We have field workers that go out and actually observe. I go out personally and interview 25 every 2 years, 25 of the principals that have hired our candidates, talk to them how well prepared were they, what could we do differently, et cetera. We bring that back for program approval, and that's not just window dressing. That really does happen. The bottom line to it is they hold us accountable for that. If they were to be taken away so that we wouldn't have that kind of quality assurance or control, it's left to anybody can open up a shop and say, I'd like to prepare teachers to teach something. Someone has to be that quality control agent, and they do it for us for the federal standards. Now, if someone were to take on, I'm not saying it has to be in that particular shop, but someplace, sometime, someone has to maintain those. The worst thing that could happen for education is to watch it move to mediocrity by saying anybody can open, let's say, an online teacher preparation program and just go for it. You're not, the admission process, the gatekeeping is not there any longer. So that's the role. I think that's a key role that they play. It's one of the roles anyway.
And I think from a district ESD perspective, another key role is to individually know that then when those people come to me with a license from TSPC, that they have met a certain standard to get that license. Now, once they get to us, do we have our own competencies to maintain their position in the district or the ESD? Yes, we do. But they come to us with a base of a license that they have met specific requirements to be. I don't think that districts could take on individually determining whether or not a teacher has that basic foundation in order to be a teacher. I think it needs to be at the state level.
Follow up, Madam Chair?
Yes, follow up.
What's the percentage of teachers, new teachers, that cycle out of the system within 5 years?
I don't know the answer to that. Do you know, Kristen?
Or when you say cycle out, do you mean that they're
leaving the profession?
I don't remember the exact amount, but I know that it's a big enough concern that Oregon Department of Education has mentor-partner grants that districts and consortia can apply to because it is an issue. In our rural district, we lose teachers to other parts of the state when the rest of the state hires, but the good news is that they don't leave the profession. And we really attribute that to our mentoring program. But it's a big enough number that...
I don't have the number, but I know it's a concern, definitely.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Could it be as much as half?
Mm. No, I wouldn't believe it's
half. I think
half.
You'd be surprised if you check.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to piggyback on Senator Boquist's STEM question because I have been dealing with a constituent who was a Teach for America program teacher who's a biology teacher and actually taught first in Oakland and then in Harlem, mm-hmm. now has moved back to my district in Portland and is teaching in Portland. And I think that's a rarity, actually, from my experience of people who come out of that program, someone who's a dedicated teacher, a talented teacher, who started out teaching in extremely challenging situations and has become an experienced teacher now, is still in the field. So there definitely are examples, and this is a great one, mm-hmm. of people who want to continue to teach. So we're benefiting from that, I think, by people wanting to come to Oregon and be part of our education community here. You don't have to respond to that, but... Okay, I don't see any other questions for you, so thanks again.
Thank you.
And I'll close this public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of William Poston to the Board of Trustees of the University of Oregon. Thank you very much for being here. Just say your name and then tell us about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Well, good morning, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, and thank you for the opportunity to address you today. My name is William Poston, and I'm from Portland, Oregon. So the Board of Trustees at the University of Oregon brings an incredibly unique opportunity where I, as a student, can represent the student body, the University of Oregon, and the state of Oregon, while at the same time growing academically and as a student. As a student trustee, I would be able to speak firsthand about pertinent issues such as increasing the graduation rate, expanding on the university's already growing diverse student population, and working on a solution to the ballooning cost of tuition. My previous role as the student body president at Central Catholic High School in Portland, Oregon, and current role as a STAMPS leadership scholar have given me the necessary skills to be an active and viable member of this essential board. Thank you again for the opportunity to address you today.
Well, thank you for being willing to be the student representative on the board. Any questions for Mr. Poston? Yes, Senator Beyer.
Thank you. Just a comment. William, you look like, or you sound like you can present yourself very well. Your predecessor on the initial board felt like she wasn't heard.
Yeah.
And I would encourage you to push back. Make sure the students are represented.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a good relationship with Helena, and so hopefully I'll be able to take some advice from her and gain some knowledge before. So thank you.
Okay. Senator Beyer. Senator Boquist.
We co-sponsor legislation.
I know. It's hard to tell you apart sometimes.
I'm proud to admit it here, but my constituents sometimes don't like it.
You're the one with the beard, right?
That's right. I'm the one with the beard. Right? Please confuse me with Senator Moreau if you don't like what I said. You heard the discussion of the previous, you know, teachers training, so on and so forth. One of the things that I observed out there, and I would encourage, just like Senator Beyer, way back when, and you'll be familiar with this, the incidental fees program, which, you know, funds student government, some of the athletics and other areas right now, used to be determined purely and solely by the university. And a group of people, which I was involved with, I was a student body president at Western Oregon State College, which I decided that we could change that. And we found a senator who happened to be a Democrat, I'll just mention, and I won't give any real credits, way back then, and in opposition to another senator who is very powerful in this building right now, especially in our chamber, we managed to change those rules in which those fees were then controlled by the student body and the students themselves across the board. And so I would encourage you to be very opinionated on this trustee board and actually speak out. I mean, I have been a pet peeve, especially in the STEM program. If one of the problems with the STEM program is not the teaching and not what you guys and you gals and young men and women get, it's the fact that, you know, the largest export we have from our university system is our students leaving the state because they can't get a job inside the state of Oregon. And many times they're replaced by people with visas. By our own corporations that decide that it's less expensive to hire one of these people than it is to use our own. And so I would really encourage you to not be fearful. What are they going to do? So anyway, please keep that in mind and probably try and do it tactfully at least, because I wasn't very tactful, and I'm sure Senator O.B. Day would tell me that if you're right. So, and Senator Courtney will assuredly tell you that too. So.
Well, that's great advice, so thank you very much. I'll keep that in mind for sure.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you again, yes.
We'll be acting on your appointment shortly. I'll close this public hearing, and last but not least, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Gary Marshall to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and it's always, I think, an interesting position to be batting last in these hearings, because you get to hear from all these great people before you, and we're looking forward to hearing from you as well.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, and it's been a very nice experience to hear all the people of Oregon that are well qualified to serve on these. Honorable members of the committee, my name is Gary Marshall. I'm a governor's appointee to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. I just want you to know my strong interest in serving on the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. It has a history of providing resources for improvement of Oregon's amazing watersheds, rivers, and natural places. There's still much to do, and it's exciting that the citizens and leadership and the funding organizations in Oregon are taking an active part in moving everything, all the health of local economies, the social component, and the natural resources forward. As a native Oregonian and a cattle rancher, I'm chairman of the High District Partnership of Harney County. I'm the health of southeastern Oregon has always been very important to me, and I'm excited to serve on this committee and help out with Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, serve the people of Oregon.
Great, thank you. Did we have any questions for Mr. Marshall?
Okay. Just a comment.
Senator Boquist.
Whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. Good luck on this one.
Thank you for the comment.
Great. Thanks again. And I'll close this public hearing. And before we take our motions up, I think we'll just take a short recess. So committee is in recess. And And I will open a work session and move the following appointments and reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Robin Johnson as the Director of Affirmative Action, Benny Moses May Subed and Hussein Albaiti, and David Tam to the Commission on Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs, Jean Marie Moore to the Commission for the Blind, Dwayne Bremer and Kismet May to the, is it Kismet May or Kismet May O?
Mayo.
Oh, Kismet Mayo, to the State Board of Denture Technology, James Totten to the Electrical and Elevator Board, Stephen Green to the Oregon Growth Board, John Gibson and Derek Sorwide to the Health Evidence Review Commission, Carla McKelvey to the Oregon Health Policy Board, Terry Cross and Betty Duvall to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, Marisa Salinas to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, Dave Toller and Marcia Wenzel to the Home Care Commission, Andrea Brown and Silas Halloran Steiner to the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board, Jerome Lids to the Land Conservation and Development Commission, Jean Lee, Rick Romer, and Donald Thompson Jr. to the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists, Gary Piercy to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots, David Bone, Karina Patzer, Kevin Loveland, Nancy Kaur, and Robert Moore to the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board, Jennifer Gibbons and Kay Von Janay to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine, Kathleen Chin, Barbara Turnipseed, Colin Hunter, Ryan Wayman, and Barbara Gibbs to the Oregon State Board of Nursing, William Carnett, Leah Mitchell, Suzanne Washington, and Regina Rose to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors, Lawrence Fernstall to the Public Employees Retirement Board, William Barr to the Public Employees Benefits Board, Jeffrey Herring to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training, Jan Friedman to the Residential Facilities Advisory Committee, Bruce Dobbs to the Residential and Manufactured Structures Board, James Haltz to the Respiratory Therapist and Polysomnographic Technologist Licensing Board, Serena Dietrich and Mark Nystrom to the Sustainability Board, Mary McKay, Kristen Takano-Becker, and Bruce Wetzel, Weitzel, to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, William Poshton to the Board of Trustees of the University of Oregon, and Gary Marshall to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. So that is the motion. Members, is there discussion? Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, with regard to the appointment for the Health Education Coordinating Commission, I just wanted to make it very clear that in the discussion on Senate Bill 81, senators were told specifically and explicitly that free community college tuition would not include illegal aliens. And I just am putting that on the record so that there will be some reference to legislative intent, because as the rules get written, if they either will or will not reflect legislative intent. So let me just reiterate. It was the intent of legislators to produce a program for Oregon legal residents. And if it does otherwise, I think it jeopardizes the entire bill through a referral, just as we saw with driver cards. Thank you, Madam Chair, on HECC. Relative to the PERS board, or excuse me, the TSPC, a cursory review of the internet references to 50% of teachers leaving within the first 5 years produces an absolute cascade of documentation. I continue to fail to see how TSPC contributes anything to a quality education system. In fact, I think that TSPC operates as a poster child for failure in our education system. Madam Chair, the people that appeared before our committee were extremely well-qualified and highly competent to serve. There's no reason for me to want to block their appointment. The agency is the failure, not the volunteers. So I won't ask for those folks to be separated. Madam Chair, with regard to ODF and W.
That will be a separate motion.
Yes, ma'am. I'll address that under the appropriate moment in time. Thank you, Madam Chair. Oh, and by the way, Madam Chair, the appointee for the Public Employees Retirement Board, Lawrence Fernstall, helped approve a $50 million loan to MOTA. I am very curious about why that is occurring, but it is not. This is probably not the right venue to ask that question of this nominee, but I would like to have that discussion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, Senator Farioli. Is there further discussion on the motion, Senator Boquist?
Just briefly, Madam, just for the record, I previously did slow down the appointment of the Public Employees Retirement Board 4 months ago to ensure that, you know, there was clearly on the record the issue the fiduciary responsibility, which was accomplished, and I have no reason to doubt, that now. But I would just point out that, all board members, all commission members have a fiduciary budget and responsibility, and so when they volunteer, they have to kind of realize that they get the whole enchilada, I guess, as Senator Haas says. With that, though, I'll be supportive of the motion.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, I don't see any further discussion. Any objection to the motion? Okay, the motion carries, and the chair will carry the unblocked motion on the floor. And next, I'll open a work session and move the following reappointments to the State Fish and Wildlife Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed unblocked: Holly Akinson and Michael Finley. Any discussion? Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Oddly enough, and I'm trying to think, having been in this building a decade, and I can't think of a single case in which I did not get more constituent input than the last time around the appointees of the ODF and W. Even more than some of your key issues, Madam former Chair of Revenue, and some of the other issues that I won't mention here. It was in the high thousands of constituent contacts that came in and out in regards to this particular commission's appointees. And those issues, if you recall, colleagues, was evolved on the issue of better balance from the various stakeholders, the fiduciary future of the agency and the commission. There were discussions then, and actually members of this committee who committed to try and work towards, getting everybody heard. As in many cases with the citizen legislature, some of these discussions were not firsthand, and so some of them have kind of, we're not sure what happened to them, and it's kind of unclear. The governor's office is working with us to figure out what their intent was, what they thought other people's intent was, and hoping that we kind of bear fruit in this agency. So at this point, I'll be a no. Those discussions are ongoing. I just spoke to the governor within the last hour personally, and we're trying to figure out, okay, what happened and what is the plan going forward. But at the moment, will be a no due to those constituent issues that came up last time, and hopefully these will be resolved in short order, the very near future. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
For the discussion, Senator Farioli.
Only that this is a sort of insider baseball, perhaps a comment directed at the appointments secretary and the process. There was significant conversation between members of the Senate Republican Caucus and staff of the governor's office, who may or may not still be serving in the governor's office. And there were assurances made, and there was conclusive comments about concerns that were exchanged. And I think there was, in fact, a clear understanding about what the next steps would be. And so now the credibility of the appointment secretary and the governor's staff, and in fact, by extension, the governor, is in question on whether or not there's a reliability, even though faces change in this building all the time, both, in the body and in the staff, agreements that are made should be adhered to. And the question really comes now, are we going to solve some of the serious problems that face Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Fiscal management, the daily balance sheet doesn't. And the question is really rests on the credibility of management, the credibility of the agency, and by extension, is the current management direction one that we want to continue? So I'll be voting no. I would hope that this catalyzes a suspension of the forward motion on these appointments and a conversation about what happens next. So that's what we're hoping for, Madam Chair. Thank you. And by the way, the list of no votes has gone well beyond our caucus members. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just noting for the record, I remember the discussion last time, and I believe there's a sense that at least the ranching community felt that they wanted to have one of their own appointed to the board. And I have sympathy, empathy, whichever is appropriate with that. I did note, though, that both of these two individuals are reappointments, and the tradition has been that unless someone has royally screwed up, that the Senate generally does confirm a reappointment. Further, I was surprised. I was out there, I guess it's 2 weeks ago now, talking with the farmers and the ranchers up in Joseph, particularly with Holly, who I'd never met before. And I was interested to note that the ranchers out there in that community seem to really respect her and were very supportive in their comments to me about her job there. She clearly is a biologist, understands that issue very well, and I guess she and her husband are small-time ranchers as they've retired to that community. So, just a comment for the record.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Burdick, I believe you were on that same trip.
Yes, I was on that same trip, and I had a chance to ride a bus from one point to another. I forget which point from and to with Holly Akinson, and was very impressed with her expertise and her commitment to Eastern Oregon. And she's from there. She was making a great sacrifice because she was with us instead. She delayed her elk hunting trip by a day to spend time with us. And I just, again, I got a feeling that she was very much of the place. Maybe she wasn't who the ranchers wanted in terms of her specific ranching credentials, but I was very impressed by her, and especially by her training. She actually has worked on the ground on wolf issues. She did vote with the commission to delist the wolf, and I had concerns about that being from my district, and she knew all about the wolf management plan. So I just think her expertise is extremely valuable. I don't pretend to understand all the politics around this, but these are actual individuals involved, and this one really impressed me.
Thank you for your comment, Senator Burdick. Any further discussion? Yes, Senator Farioli, well, just, rejoined.
I hope that this doesn't become focused on just the issue of one appointee versus another. I think the fiscal and fiduciary issues are really of concern. The director doesn't work for the legislature. The director doesn't work for the governor. The director works for the board. This is an agency about ready to tip over and drown in its own red ink. We've tried to make it really clear every time the ODFW appointees have appeared that they are responsible for management. There's legal opinions that demonstrate that they do have absolute responsibility for the fiscal management of that agency. It's clear it's not happening. So, Madam Chair, I don't want to let this discussion devolve into whether or not the ranchers got their way. That isn't what this is about. There are some much deeper, much broader issues of concern here, and unless this agency does a significant nose up, it's going to corkscrew in. To those who were in attendance on the bus ride, don't mistake good manners for support. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, Okay, thank you, Senator Farioli, and members, for the vigorous discussion. And so we are on a motion. Zoe, would you please call the roll?
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Boakley?
No.
Senator Bryan?
Aye.
Vice Chair Farioli?
No.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. And the motion carries. And Senator Beyer, would you be willing to carry this on the floor?
Madam Chair, I want to note it for the record that Senator Burdick was on a bus from somewhere in the middle of nowhere to somewhere else in the middle of nowhere. I know geography gets a little vague east of Bend, but.
Madam Chair, I must add, however, I've never been treated as well as we were all treated in Eastern Oregon.
Just to be clear, Senator, it was from Enterprise to Troy and back.
Senator Beyer.
Just for the record, I would like to have Senator Beyer's stuff struck because my ranch lies right in the middle of between nowhere and nowhere, and you drove by, and I would really not like anybody to know that.
Okay. Before this goes any further, I'm going to close the work session. And members, with nothing to come further to come before us this morning, we are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you. This morning, we are adjourned.